let me in. Shiba shiba, I wanna be closer to you. Shiba shiba, open up your soul. Shiba shiba, let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where I try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. And I was enjoying something the other day. I went to an art opening at some random gallery that a friend took me to. And of course, I ran into artists and they did great work. And I got to speak with one of the artists, and I'm having one of the artists on the show today to talk about her body of work and what she is currently working on. I'd like to welcome Celia C. Peters. Hello.
Hello. Hello. It's great to see you again.
It's great to hear from you. So Celia, before we get into your actual artwork, tell me, when did you discover that you had the soul of an artist?
Oh, wow. It was a while ago. And I think the realization came sort of in waves. As a child, I definitely was interested in art, but I was interested in seeing art and being around art. Mm-hmm. But I was really into writing and like creating stories. But I had an aunt who was a visual artist, and so that was like a source of fascination for me. And then I'm trying to remember, like, definitely school projects and all that I was super into in, like, art class. Mm-hmm. But then it wasn't really until later, probably in adulthood, when I actually sat down to start creating art. And when I realized that I got into the zone, mm-hmm. while I was creating art, and everything was sort of timeless, and I, you know, could go on and skip dinner and all that, that's when I sort of realized, I was like, okay, this is something different. This is your jam.
Okay, so when you first started creating art, what was the impetus for that? Like when, and then what was the medium where you first, when you went from writing to, you know, I don't know, sculpting, I don't know.
I would say the impetus was I was at a point where I needed to do something. And I was sort of at a crossroads, and I wasn't sure where I was going to go, like city-wise. And I mm-hmm. was like, I need to do something. And so I was in Ohio with my family, and I had gone to see my parents and mm-hmm. like sort of help out a little bit. But I knew I wasn't going to be staying there. And so I started doing digital art. It was graphic art. I actually created a line of cards, because when I was growing up, my mom was really into stationery, mm-hmm. and I was really into stationery. And so I was like, oh yeah, I think this would be good for people who are into that, like sending something tactile. Mm-hmm. And so I did this really like graphic geometric art, which really sort of spoke to me. Like I love geometry. And so it worked. And as I'm saying this to you, I'm realizing how that relates to sort of where I am now with regard to science fiction. It all kind of connects through the math and the science. And I'm like, oh, yeah. But at the time, it was really, you know, I needed to do something, and I wanted to do something creative. And I also wanted to do something that I hadn't done before. Mm-hmm. I wanted to expand my repertoire. And so that was really it. So I created this whole line of note cards was really what they were.
Okay.
And that was interesting because it was a lot.
Okay, so you know, you talk about how your digital art sort of informs where you are now. So, mm-hmm. and you also mentioned that you enjoyed writing stories, and I'm wondering if Afrofuturism was the type of story that you liked to write, or you just wrote everything that came into your head.
Well, the latter, it was everything that came to my head, but what was coming into my head at that time was a lot of, I was really into horror. So I was into witchcraft, mm-hmm. not practicing it, but more so I was just I guess, enthralled with the idea that it could work, like that people could actually do that and make something happen. Mm-hmm. And it kind of scared me, but it kind of fascinated me. So I was writing the, and I was also writing very tortured adolescent poetry.
Okay.
So there was that too.
Have you ever like reread it as an adult and cringed or thought, oh, how sweet and innocent?
I think the last thing I read of mine from adolescence, I sort of cringed. I think it was a short story that was sort of supposed to be like some sort of thriller, but it was also like a romance. And, you know, my mom actually was into those Harlequin novels.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so I thought I was going to do something with a leading man who was like more dashing and more cool than the guys in the, in her books.
Okay.
So I tried, you know, I'll say less.
No, I mean, I love that. I love the just the sheer confidence that teens have to approach anything. It's something that
right.
we lose as adults, as a matter of fact. But so let's talk about the style of art that you do right now. And I know that you have a show up. So let's talk about, let's start. What's the style of art you do now?
So now what I do is primarily digital collage.
Okay.
So, and most of it is photo based, and most of it is photo based or based on photos of people, because at heart it is character driven.
Okay.
And that relates very closely to the kind of film that I do, which is also character-driven. And so the visual art is really an extrapolation of that. It's an extrapolation of me telling stories and just, you know, doing it in collage form, really. And so that, for me, is, you know, it resonates with film because it's, you know, obviously visual. But lately, including in this current show, I've worked in lenticular, in the lenticular format, which is basically 2D art, but it's where the image changes when the viewer moves. And so it's a way to incorporate motion into visual art without needing a power source, which is awesome because it gives you a lot more flexibility as to where you can show it. And so that's really where I'm focused, and most of the visual art that I do still do some graphic stuff, but in recent years, it's been more in the direction of Afrofuturism. It's been sort of, everything has sort of had this cosmic thing in the DNA, this visual art that I've been doing lately.
Okay. So I love lenticular art. I have these lenticular earrings that are eyes that blink.
Wow.
And so I used to tell my my nieces and nephews that I had eyes in the back of my head. And then when it was closed, that my earrings would keep an eye on them. And it worked for quite a long time. But so let's talk about lenticular art for just a moment. So how do you create lenticular art? What's the mechanics behind it?
I work with a printer that does the actual production.
Okay.
But that means, you know, we're working in collaboration in the sense that I have to be very clear about the specs, you know, what I need to create in order for them to be able to construct this piece that will be what I want it to be.
Okay.
And so that involves, really creating, they call them panels, which is just different images. And those images will be put together in this format, which is really a very thin piece of, I believe it's acrylic, that displays different images, depending on the angle. And so I have to really think about, you know, what it is that I'm doing, what is the image that I want to create, and how will I get there? You know, so, what can I do to get there?
So with this piece of acrylic, like how many angles does it have?
It depends on how many panels you create. So the piece that I have that's up at SFO right now is three.
Okay.
Three. And so if you walk by, you see three different versions of the subject of the portrait. I know you can do five. I'm not sure how many more you can do, because it might be a question of diminishing returns if you have too many panels.
Okay.
But I know you can do it to five.
All right. Now, you mentioned the airport, and I'm always, I don't travel that much, but when I do, I'm always surprised by just how much art there is at the airport. And when you think about it, because you're just sort of rushing by, but there have been times when I've actually stopped my trajectory because I'm fascinated by the displays that they have going on. And it's not just in San Francisco. I've sort of been all over the world, and I've just been surprised. So talk a little bit about your exhibit at the airport.
So the exhibit is called Women of Afrofuturism, and it went up in May of last year. And it is a celebration of Black women of the future across eras and across media. Mm-hmm. And so there are, you know, there's a range of art. There's my art, the digital collage. I also have a piece that's animation.
Mm-hmm.
There's another artist who works, who actually works with AI to create portraits of figures that you would know. There's some ephemera, some album covers, some really cool, like, sort of futuristic gadgets and that kind of thing that relate. There's also some fashion. So there's, you know, there's a whole range of work. There are five artists in the show.
Okay.
And so, we all are sort of working in different directions. But what unites what we've all done is this idea of, you know, celebrating, uplifting, showcasing, spotlighting women of Afrofuturism.
Okay. Now, for those people who maybe don't have any travel plans because they're afraid the planes are going to fly, you know, just fall right out of the sky, is there any way that people can see the art that you created outside of that?
Yeah, yes, on my website. But I will say also that you can see the exhibit. It is in Terminal 1, but the museum, SFO Museum, is booking tours through Eventbrite. So it's free, but because it's past security, you just have to do it through Eventbrite so they can do the get your ID and that kind of thing, just for the security stuff. But it is free. And I think they do them on Tuesdays, but don't quote me on that.
Sure.
It's through Eventbrite.
But I didn't even know that you could just go to the airport to look at art without even needing to be trapped. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a game changer.
Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, SFO Museum, I mean, the airport is stunning. And SFO Museum is really, really incredible. Like, the art that they are showing is, like, you know, it's really mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I've actually, you know, snagged some literature from some of the exhibits because, as I said, I'm surprised that, like, not only is the art good at the airport, but but then like the literature that they have, you know, the graphic design that goes into the handouts is, you know, superb. So I was just like, this blows my mind. So I want to ask you a little bit. You have something called Object Impermanence.
Object Permanence. Yes, that is a short film that I shot. I wrote, directed, and was a producer on this summer, which is in progress right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a short sci-fi Afrofuturist thriller that is set in near future Oakland. We shot on location in Oakland. And right now we're going into post-production. However, we will be showing something at the airport. So if I can talk about that a little
Yes.
bit. So I've curated, in conversation with the exhibit, with the art exhibit, I've curated a public program, which is called Afro Cinematica. And it is a showcase of sci-fi short by Black directors that, again, is sort of showcasing art, celebrating women of Afrofuturism, either behind the camera or in front of the camera. And that showcase is September 12th, and it's at the Aviation Museum.
Okay.
At the airport, at SFO Airport. It is a free event. It's open to the public, and it is on Eventbrite. And it's Afro Cinematica with a K.
Okay.
And so it's basically there are four filmmakers from three different countries who, you know, are exploring one point of view, which is the future.
Uh-huh.
And each of them, you know, really are doing a really fantastic work. They will be showing shorts. The three other filmmakers will be showing shorts. And then I will be sharing or screening a first look trailer for my short film, Object Permanence.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, so I'm very excited. Thank you so much. I'm very, very excited. You know, just as a curator, I'm really excited to present the work of these other filmmakers, which is really important because, you know, our industry is in a very weird place. And I think it's really important to create platforms for storytellers. I mean, that's something that's a part of my practice and of my creative practice and has been. Mm-hmm. It's not just about me. So I'm very excited to present this work because as a lover of film and a lover of sci-fi film in particular, I'm always really stoked when I encounter really good movies. And these are, you know, so, you know, I'm excited that it's very accessible. You can take the BART directly to the airport, of course. And if you drive, you can get your parking validated.
Oh, nice.
Well, then.
All right.
So it's a nice little Saturday afternoon excursion.
And is all this information available on your website?
Yes. And the other thing I will add is that the other filmmakers are going to join us via Zoom for a Q&A. So one is from New York, one from Toronto, one from London, and I will be in the house live.
Excellent. Excellent. So if people want to find out more about the event or, you know, just get all the details, how would they go about doing that?
They can go to my website, which is www.artisticfreedomltd.com.
artisticfreedomltd.com. Mm-hmm. And so give us the date one more time for Object Permanence, for the exhibit at the Aviation Museum.
It's September 12th, Saturday, September 12th at 2 p.m.
2 p.m. All right.
And the showcase is Afro Cinematica.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Celia C. Peters, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really wonderful to be here.
All right, people of Earth, this is your opportunity to go check out this exhibit at the airport. I know. And of course, I'm going to have to play something that relates to either the airport or Afrofuturism. So
yeah. Here
we go.
See, vibrating, and you don't know what it means. The headache, the bigger the pill, baby. Call me the big pill. Dr. Funkenstein, the disco fiend with the monster sound. The cool goo with the bum transplant.
Hip bone connected to my thigh bone connected to my leg bone connected to my ankle bone.
I get so hung up on bones. Dr. Funkenstein here.
Preoccupied and dedicated to the preservation of the motion of hips.
On my ego. Swift lipping, ego tripping, and body snatching.
Don't blow your mind.
Coming to you directly from the mothership. Pulling up the last leg. Of the feet pump.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Dr. Funkenstein. Yeah. Don't funk with your mind. Let me hear it for me.
Take my body, give it to mine to fall with the rest. Let me whip the one and bend. If you like, let me again.
All right.
We love to fuck a style.
A microbiologically speaking, when I start churning, burning, and turning,
it'll make your atoms move so fast, expanding your molecules. Causing a friction fire, burning you on your neutron, causing you to scream, hit me in the proton. Baby.
Y'all got your sunglasses on out there. On my ego.
Yeah.
call me the big pill.
We're all a blow the cobweb out. Thank you. Jimmy Forrest in Flight 3D from Night Train. Sun Ra, Call for All Demons, is from the Roots of Funk, 1947 to 1962. Heard a doubleheader from Parliament, Children of Production and Dr. Funkenstein, both of those from Clones of Dr. Funkenstein. And we started the Afrofuturist set off with a Funkadelic and Biological Speculation from America Eats Its Young. It is 9:40, and if you're ever listening to KPOO and you think, I wonder what that song was, you can go to our Spinatron link, and you will be able to see all of the songs that we played and what CDs you can find them on. And this is a friendly reminder that the interview that you're about to hear has been pre-recorded for broadcast in this time zone.
You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. Who's about to touch your mind right now? Well, you know, last week we had technical difficulties because technology doesn't like me, but this week technology does. And so I get to have my librarianistas du jour here to talk about all the fabulous things that are going to be happening at the library. I'd like to welcome Jana Carrera. Welcome.
Hi, DJ Marilyn. Thank you. Super excited to be here.
So before we get into what's going on at the library, how long have you been at the library and what made you decide to become a librarianista?
Yeah, actually, I am celebrating my 10-year anniversary with San Francisco Public Library this year. And, you know, I just wanted to... I'm a helper. I like helping people. And I feel like at the public library, you can see your impact more directly on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. Like it's a really feel-good kind of job. And prior to this, I was a journalist, which is also a good job, but it's very different, very, mm-hmm. very different in terms of seeing impact and the type of work that you're doing. Mm-hmm. So I switched to librarianship because I felt like it was more suited to my personality and my interests. I'm always a big fan of doing things with community, in community, mm-hmm. and I get to do that every day in my job.
Excellent. Excellent. So what exactly do you do at the public library?
I am now the manager of the Filipino American Center.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, we are located as part of the International Center at the main library across mm-hmm. from City Hall.
Okay.
And most of my time is spent doing outreach and programming for the Filipino American diaspora.
Oh, very good. Very good. And, San Francisco, the Bay Area has a very large Filipino population. So I'm glad that yet again, the San Francisco Public Library is on the front lines when it comes to representing all the different communities that we have. So talk a little bit about some of the things that are going to be happening in the month of September.
September, we have a few things coming up, but is it okay if I actually talk about October?
I'm sure.
Okay, because it's a big program for us. It's the Filipino American International Book Festival.
Okay.
And it happens every 2 years. So we're in the middle of finalizing all of our plans for it. It's always held during October because it's Filipino American History Month.
Okay.
And we bring together a number of writers, scholars, and creatives from across the globe. Mm-hmm. So we have folks coming from the Philippines, from Canada, from the UK, all Filipino creatives, and they're all coming to the main library on October 17th and 18th.
Wow. So when did this festival start?
I'm trying to remember the exact year, but we are on our 8th year. So, mm-hmm. It's been going on for 16 years now since we do it every 2 years.
Okay.
So, yeah, 2026 is the 8th iteration of the festival, and it gets larger and larger every year.
And would our listeners be familiar with any of the authors or any of the titles that the authors have written?
Hopefully. one of our keynotes is Randy Rabai. He's a very popular young adult author. Mm-hmm. He recently had a book come out a couple months ago, I believe. It's called Nest of Tongues.
Okay.
So he's one of our keynote speakers. We have Yvette Tan from the Philippines. She's a very prolific horror writer.
Ooh. Love me some horror.
Yeah. So this is actually the first year we're having a whole horror panel.
Okay.
So we have a few authors mostly from the Philippines, actually, who are coming to talk about their horror writing.
Okay, okay. Are you a horror fan?
I am. So I'm a little fangirling a bit over Yvette Tan coming all the way over here from the Philippines.
What other things have you read from these authors?
So Yvette Tan has, I think it's three books of short stories that are all around Filipino mythology and all the spooky, creepy things that can happen. And like with Randy Rabai, I've read one of his first YA books was, what is it? I'm trying to remember what it was. Patron Saints of Nothing. It's very good. It's about a teenager, Phil Lam, Filipino-American, who finds out his cousin in the Philippines was murdered as part of the drug wars that were kind of
raging
during that time under that current president.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So tell me those dates again for the event.
October 17th and 18th.
And do you need to register or can you just show up?
You can just show up.
Okay.
You can totally just show up. And it's like I said, it's 2 days and there will be panels, discussions for the kids. We have story times as well and other activities. And there will be a marketplace where we feature all the authors. You can get your book signed. You can purchase books from small publishers. So it's going to be a really good time.
Very cool. Now, there have been a lot of times when I've gone to the library and I will see these bookmarks and those bookmarks will have there'll be themes. So is there going to be a themed bookmark for the festival?
Yes, there will be.
With the book names and everything.
Yeah.
I love those.
Yeah. So we're going to have bookmarks. We're hoping to have stickers as well.
Okay.
Our poster was designed by Leroy David. Mm-hmm. He actually designed the Bay Area's World Cup poster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's designed a few other things for like Filipino Heritage Nights at like the Giants and the Warriors and other things like that.
All right, very cool. All right, so we've talked about that. What else is happening at the library that you'd like our listening audience to know about?
Yeah, so this month we can talk about September. I just wanted to make sure we got that in. Okay. So right now we have a new exhibit up on the third floor. It's called Little Brown Dolls No More. And it's about the rise of Filipino boxers in the squared circle, which is like this area of Civic Center. A lot of Filipino boxers came through here in the 1920s and 30s.
Oh.
And they fought here and rose to, you know, like high acclaim. One of the first fighters who became the first Filipino flyweight boxing world champion, his name is Pancho Villa. Mm-hmm. So we were featuring him and a bunch of other Filipino boxers and their contributions to boxing as a sport.
Okay. Now, before you became a part of this, this section of the library, were Filipino boxers on your radar?
Yes, because growing up, Manny Pacquiao was super popular.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and like we would have my family and friends, we would always have big parties around his fights. So we would all gather, there would be a ton of food, and everybody would be watching the fight together and cheering on Pacquiao and the Philippines.
Okay. So when does, you said the exhibit is already up?
It is currently up. It will be up through January 14th, 2027.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be up for a while. Again, it's on the third floor, right next to the Filipino American Center.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's a ton of stuff in it and it's a really great exhibit. I'm very excited for my colleague who helped co-curate the entire exhibit.
Who's that?
That would be Mel Reyes. She is my partner in crime here at the Filipino American Center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's been something she's worked on for the last few months, and it's really exciting to see it come to fruition.
Very cool. Very cool. So we've talked about the authors. We've talked about the boxers. What else would you like to talk about?
Just that the Filipino American Center, we're there, you know, like we've actually been here at San Francisco Public Library for 30 years. Yeah, since the current main library opened, we've been around. And so we have a research room where we keep a number of books, reference books specifically on Filipino culture and history. We also have some fiction in there. Mm-hmm. And you can come in anytime the library is open and do your research on Filipino Americans and Filipinos in the Filipino American Center. And we do programs like this all the time. So programs centering around different facets of Filipino culture and history. I'm hoping to screen a really popular and upcoming documentary soon called Filipiniana. And it's a movie about a Filipina worker who is working at a country club where she discovers some unsavory things happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're hoping to do a screening of that in the library? And
yeah.
So you'll keep us posted?
I will definitely keep you posted. The screening will be in the new year in 2027.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, I want to get the word out now because it's all in the works. It's going to happen. But yeah, the Philam Center, we do a lot of cool things. We like to feature a lot of Filipino creatives, from authors to dancers to artists. And we work and collaborate with a lot of other Philam organizations across the city.
Okay. And then what is a program that you guys offer that you would like to raise in profile? Maybe something that you feel is underutilized or that people don't necessarily know about?
That's a good question. Well,
or what's your favorite program?
Favorite program. Oh my gosh.
And it doesn't even have to be in your department.
Yeah. Well, I love my job. So everything we do is super exciting for me. We are in the middle of planning for Filipino American History Month across the library system.
Okay.
So you will see, patrons will see like an influx of Filipino American themed programming coming up, from poetry to crafts to music and dance, and weaving even. So those will be coming out soon, and they will probably stretch out through the rest of the year.
Okay. And then for people who are coming to the Filipino Center for the first time, what's something you would like them to know about the center?
Let's see. I would just like them to know that we are here for you. We're here for your research needs, for connecting you with others in the community. Here to highlight the work that you're doing as well.
Okay. And then one last question for you, and this is just for me because I love horror. What is a horror book that you would recommend?
I am actually reading one, and it's also by a Filipino author who's coming to the book festival in October. It's called The Secret Lives of OFWs. And OFWs stands for Overseas Filipino Workers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so OFWs are like a major export, you could say, of the Philippines. They work all over the world in different types of jobs. So this is like a combination of what it's like to be an OFW, but also like... some of these OFWs are things you would not expect. Like they might be what we call a manananggal, like a vampire type creature.
Ooh, all right. I'm sold.
Yeah. And it's by Jet Tagasa.
Okay. And is that available at the library?
It is. It is available at the library. So it's The Secret Lives of OFWs by Jet Tagasa.
Okay. And if people want to find out more about Filipino authors online, where do they go on the website?
You can either go to our direct page, that is the sfpl.org/Filipino American Center, and you can access our entire collection that way. We keep a running list of new titles that are coming into the collection, and I've ordered a bunch of new ones from the Philippines.
Okay.
So there should be a lot of cool stuff coming really soon. Yeah. So if you go to our catalog and just type in Filipino, everything should pop up.
Excellent.
Very simple.
All right. Well, Jaina Cabrera, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Marilyn. It's been fun. I always enjoy being here and chatting with you and celebrating the library.
Okay, people of Earth, this is your opportunity. There's books to be had. There's books to be read. There's people to go and hear about. So go check out your San Francisco Public Library. There's a saying that the internet will give you a million answers. A librarian will give you the right one. So until next week, my friends, have a happy Labor Day. Ta-ta and toodly-doo.